produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Greetings, everyone. You are listening to United Kingdom Radio Network, USA World. My name is Pastor Thando Nyoni from Johannesburg, South Africa, and the name of our program is called Unqede on Ndiza Nathi. This show is produced by Caleb Padgett, and welcome to the broadcast today. It is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you'll ask yourself, why do I always start with the scripture? But think about it. Every day is given by God. It's like a gift from heaven that we must live it to its fullest, and we need to worship and praise God for it. So it is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Ngalawo magama, I greet everyone in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You will remember that in the past weeks, we've been talking on the subject of uthando. And we've covered different characteristics of uthando, that uthando does not keep record of wrongs. Uthando is not easily angered. I'm not sure what we covered it, although I thought we'll do it today. That it is patient. It's not puffed up, and it's not rude. It does not seek of its own. It's not easily provoked. It does not rejoice in evil, but rejoices with the truth. You know, those whole aspects about love, and our main scripture has been 1 Corinthians 13. So today I would like us to just once more and look at the subject of uthando and basically conclude on it. I obviously will never conclude on the subject of love, because God is love. And the whole Bible is about love. But for today, as we're looking at the subject, 1 Corinthians 13 and the characteristics, today I would like us to finally and just close that chapter, and we'll probably look at it as God leads. As God leads again. So let's go back to the chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And I'll also look at the NIV version, but we'll only look at from verse 4 to verse 8. Love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it's not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, enjoys all things. Then the last part, in fact, the first part, verse 8, it is love never fails. So let us open the NIV version and just check Yona Guti. When it talks on love, Yona 18. 1 Corinthians 13, okay. The verse 4, Yakona 18, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth, it always protects, always trust, always hopes, always perseveres, And the last or the first part of verse 8, it, love never fails. Love never fails. I guess God has never failed, because it is because of love that Jesus Christ died on Calvary. And in that sense, it never failed. I want us today to zoom in onto the subject of it keeps it's not easily angered. I almost said it keeps no record of wrongs. I keep on thinking about that topic. I know we've covered it already, but I keep on covering it in my spirit. But today I just want us to conclude as we look at the subject or the part where it says it's not easily angered. Love is not easily angered. And what is to be easily angered? Love is not easily angered. In my understanding, I would say that it simply means that alkuzuliki is speed. Even in the worst form of provocation, love is not easily angered. Umuntu magekusukela magekuphatha kabi angakwenzi kahle akuzwisa ubuhlungu. When you reach a point of being peaceful in all circumstances of life, you know, when the Bible says, count it all joy when you enter into trials and tribulations, for the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience must finish its work. Then you mature and lack nothing. That is in the book of James, chapter 1. I would imagine that person has reached levels the perfect zotando. Ukuthi la elingagcikeki khona. Imagine uNkulunkulu uJesu Kristu make shaywa make sisiphambanweni igazi liphuma nenyama. You know how his words was, one of his words was, God Father, forgive them, for they not know what they're doing. How do you say that uphume igazi kususwe inyama esikhunjeni? Like, does not make, what kind of love is that? It does not make sense. So when the Bible says love is not easily angered, it's almost like with whatever circumstances that we find ourselves in whilst we live on this earth, we must realize there's a reward beyond being not being angry. Like, if we are to learn from Jesus, the purpose was for him to die because he knew there was salvation after dying for us. So it means when love is not easily angered for you, there's a reward for you ngalowo mzuzu uma ungabi angry or something. Like, there's something that oyipreventile. Let me make an example. How a lot of people, I believe, that is according to my belief, bashonile sibangcwabile basiyagula, I'm not judging, ngicela ungizwe kahle, basejele. I think that's the main person that main point that I wanted to say. Most people, they can find themselves in prison because of ugu react angrily at the spare of a moment. We all do that mistake. I'm not by far exempted from Uguba perfect as far as not turned or not easily angered. In fact, I have been tested so many times on the subject. It's not funny. And time and again, I kept on failing. But I realized that there's a grace kankulunkule pezwe to masamantu to train us in these components or characteristics of tando. Love is not easily angered. It means when something bad has happened to you, you must not be moved. The Bible says be slow to speak, slow to anger, and quick to listen. So if these elements are well practiced in you as a human being, moreover as a child of God, you are succeeding as far as the life principles are concerned, or seeking first the kingdom of God. As you seek the kingdom of God and we are not easily angered, umuva like ngendlela uNkulunkulu afuna ukumovisa ngayo, ngoba some aspects zempilo ezibuhlungu azikumuvi the way uSathane bekefisa ngakhona. So the subject of uthando not being easily angered, or as a human being ungabi not easily angered, it's a subject that is quite important. You already hear ukuthi one, it will teach you ukuthi usucceed on things like izopreventa ukufa, izopreventa izinto nje ezi unnecessary in your life. iprevente ukulahleka kwama-relationships, iprevente mhlambe ungabula umuntu if the worst case scenarios if you are easily angered. Ingapreventa nokuthi probably mhlambe there's a deal you are supposed to sign somewhere, but ma uqala uba angry la usase Soweto and you are going to your appointment later, it can, like, your emotion, your state of emotion, your anger can affect how you relate to your with your sponsors at a later date or at a later appointment on the day. So I'm just making an example. I may sound like ukuthi I'm thinking aloud, but just start thinking about mzalwane ukuthi uba easily angered can really affect you, like I've just said, it can affect the result zempilo yakho on the day, it can affect how you move further in life. It will really depend on how you respond to indaba ze anger, and maybe also it causes ugula. I don't know if you have noticed that mawukwatile umzimba tenses up, uphathwa amakhanda, uphathwa yonke lento snacks nje. And had you just learned to be peaceful at all times, ngabe nokugula okuthize nako kulontozana. And another thing, it opens the door for demons to do intando yabo, because as you are angry, you say things that you are not supposed to say, and as a result, the spiritual realm is quick to take izinto ezingcolile zisebenze. Ukhumbule ukuthi we are gods, angithi nathi we are like God. As we speak, we are, and as we think, we are. And masikhuluma to the environment like God did. When God spoke to the environment, Genesis 1, the Bible says, he said, let there be, and there was. So nathi masikhuluma, whether positively or negatively, we create with our words. So if we speak negative words, the evil world, the kingdom of darkness, isheshisa fast, yenze, it bring into pass, lento ezingekho right, ezishoyo. You know, so at the end of the day, we must be careful how we use our words and how the energy that we put out and amongst one another as human beings. I mean, God says, if you can be at peace with everyone, why would God say that? Why would God say be at peace with everyone? Because I realize, Uguti, a peace that surpasses all understanding, even if the situation may not be right, but it keeps you calm. It has an element of healing on it. So, in this chapter, in the scripture, we learn ukuthi uthando is not easily angered. That does not mean you don't become angry. Let me just clarify that. But the Bible says, when you love, when you walk in love, you are not easily angered. Oh, how I wish, Uguti, as human beings, we can learn this principle of walking in love and not being easily angered. How I wish, Uguti, it could be taught as far as primary school is level, whereby you learn, Uguti, when umuntu makuphathe kabi, you forgive, like the principle of God says, you know? Yeah. It's something to think about. At the same time, it's really challenging in the kind of world as Pilagiona. But it's really a principle that God has put on the motion that we must apply, and it really works. Because if He and Nkosi Jesu applied it on our behalf, He agazange when God created umhlaba and put umuntu emhlabeni. When we sinned, azange apule ilanga, a destroy the environment once more. Therefore, I'm just as an angry at them. Yes, it did become angry. I mean, there are cases where Moses was talking to Nkulunkulu ngabantwana baIsrael, upleader their cases against the wrath of God. There were times when God became angry, exactly like us, Uti. We do become angry. But it also took uNkulunkulu sending uthando lothathumela uJesu. Because, you know, I don't know about you, but for those of you who have children, ayikho into ekuthatha njengokuthanda umntwana wakho. Angali angakuzwisa ubuhlungu kangakanani, but uthando lunamandla over every behavior enegative umntwana akho angayenza. Linawo lawo mandla lawo, although i-hurt ne-pain ne-anger kuba yi-reality. But i-decision yokuthi ngizothanda noma kunjani, it's more powerful than any other circumstance. Uthando nokuthula kune power over i-anger. And I'm not saying ukuthi i-anger ayibi khona, iba khona yabanzalwane, iba khona kakhulu especially families. That's why ngithi I wish ngabe this was taught esikolweni usakhula, whereby you grow up practicing walking in love. As far as love is not easily angered, namanye ama aspects zothando, so that mawusomdala, you are more like Christ, far better than you are mangaba uyifundanga at all. Because most of us, we grapple with these things sibadala. We literally grapple with them sibadala, you know. Because if you learn principles zothando quite early, you apply them at home, then when you get you into the work environment, it becomes easier, you know. Most of people out there, you can say you had challenges to bosses and colleagues. And imagine if you had learned to love and not being easily angered, you'll be able to relate with even the worst colleague ever, emhlabeni, you know. Even when evil is around you, you'll be able to cope, and in fact you'll apply love. That you smear the blood of Jesus over the situation and you are able to peacefully live with that person, you know. So uthando, it's very liyamangaza. Uthando, it's a mystery to us as human beings. It's something that God has deposited in us, and which is him. It's a mysterious, even the devil cannot even understand it, because it is because of love that we exist, and it's because of love that we are surviving ama attacks aphuma kuye every time. God is love. God is love, and we are created in his image. It means also natisi uthando, because we are created in his image. So it is a prerequisite for every born again Christian to walk in love. As it is a prerequisite for each and every person who walks on this earth to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's a must, if I have to put it that way. Can God help us as a nation, as people, as South Africans, as people around the world, to know what, without Christ, we will do nothing, basically. And maybe whilst I'm talking about Christ and the love of God, if there is anyone out there who has not made a decision to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, make that time now. Decide today. Decide today and do this prayer together with me. Say to God, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before your presence. I am your daughter. I am your son. Make me your child. Make me a new creation. I come as I am. I believe that you died for me. And I believed that you have forgiven my sins. I receive you, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you make that prayer together with me, or if you did that prayer together with me, that means you are a child of God. You are born again. If I believe it, 2 Corinthians 5:17, let me just look at it in speed. Sometimes when you quote scripture, you have a tendency of misquoting it. So rather open it directly. Manje, I've opened a very small Bible where you can't even see clearly the words here. I'm gonna 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Hallelujah. Meaning ukuthi if anyone has made Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, okwakudala kudlulile, okusha sekufikile. So you are born again, meaning that you are welcomed unto the kingdom of God. You belong unto the family of God now. Umntwana kaNkulunkulu. So if you've made that prayer with me, there is inhlokomo celebration in heaven. In fact, let me just pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and every person all over this world who have decided and prayed and made you your Lord and Savior. And amasha ndeme tata bata. We pray, Lord, that the malanda that you le malanda motion ndeme ta de la bache la bate ene malanda taboche nda balakenga kaka na motion ndebite ndemo le de boche la bate da boche ndemo da kaka na motion de balada da boche nda mata la boche nda malanda da boche nda bata re de me ne na motion nda mata. Thank you, Lord, that each and every person that has received you today, that they know who they are made anew in Christ, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit engulfs and covers their lives every day of their lives. In the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, Mzalwan. If you've made that prayer together with us, please find a church nearby you where they teach the word of God, and you that you will belong to a group of people that pray together. And make sure that you have a Bible. It's imperative that you read your Bible on daily basis and you communicate with God through prayer. It's important, again, you know, umthandazo ufana nokudla njengoba sidla every day, that is eating our meals every day. You have your meals 3 times a day, some people 5 times, some it's more than 5 times for that matter. But basically, it's like the food that you put out to your mouth. But Bible and praying and reading the word is like food that you feed unto your spirit on daily basis. So in that note, I'm going to do our announcements. Then after that, I'm going to say my goodbyes. Just before I say goodbye, as Sumfundisi Nyoni, I would like to invite everyone of us to the Prodigy Motivational Wellness Session, which is scheduled to be held on Zoom online on the 29th of August this year. We are featuring different speakers, Prophetess Tepi Mngoma, Mr. Lebohang Mtsuke, Ms. Chazile Ngatane, and for music, we are featuring Ntomfuthi Mahlobo. We're covering 3 topics, marriage, money, and personal branding. The sessions start at 10. The first session is at 10, second one at 12, and the last one at 2 p.m. Everybody's invited around the world. If you are interested to come, you can give me or send me a WhatsApp message. I'll send you the poster which has the login details. My phone number or the number that we use, Ganga the Prodigy, it's 0846693615. It's a South African number, 0846693615. And then the email is ungcede@yahoo.com. Ungcede, it's UNGCEDE. UNGCEDE. Remember the times, it's 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 2 p.m. Those are the South African times. Just for anybody who's around the world. And we thank God that Zoom is accessible for each and every person over around the world. So if you really like to join us, you can find us on that day. And and just to add, Unite Prodigy is a social and emotional wellness service company. The services that we do, it's motivation, it's counseling and strategic planning. Should you need any of these services, the same phone number that I had given, you send a WhatsApp. We can send you our profile, or you can tell us what is it that you need us to do. Probably motivation, even online. We now do it online since the world is faced with the coronavirus. So we are available to service you online, even through counseling as well. Obviously, we charge for the services. They aren't free. But for the sessions on the 29th of August, you don't pay to be part of us on that day. So in that note, I would like to thank you and for giving me your ears And I also like to thank the United Kingdom Radio Network for the platform to speak to you every week. And more than anything, I want to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for ukusithanda and for the wisdom to stand and be in the presence of His love every day. In that note, I would like to say thank you, Bazalwane. Thank you, Mhlaba. Thank you to our Father. In the name of Jesus, God bless and good day. Bye.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, praise God. We give God the glory one more time for having given us the opportunity to connect in His Word and to fellowship in His Word, to have a great time in His presence and in the Word of God. We thank God coming all the way from South Africa, bringing greetings to all the brethren around the world on glorifying God with Pastor Dreadwell Zabani from South Africa. Well, today on the program, I want us to look at the question of one of the most important things that we need to consider as and when we continue to glorify God. It becomes very, very important for us to understand that there are certain things that we need to look into and that we need to make sure that they are in place in order if we are ever going to be able to glorify God. And one of those things which becomes very, very important for us to glorify God is to deal with the past effectively. So I want us to look into the question of dealing with the past, dealing with the past in order to glorify God. Bad things that happen to us leave us with bad memories, which can become quite a challenge to deal with. These negative events imprint bad memories in our minds, which we then have to overcome in order to move on with our lives, especially after a bad experience in life. It could be in your life in general. It could be in business. It could be in your studies, in your relationship. It could be in your marriage. It could be that you've been through a divorce. It could be that it's family related. But these things can become, you know, the bad events that have happened in the past can become quite a challenge to overcome and to deal with. And they can actually prevent us from moving on, moving forward, and glorifying God in our lives. So how then do we make sure that we overcome these things and that we are able to glorify God despite what has happened to us in the past? And I want us to look at, before we move any further, look at the effects of bad memories. In other words, what bad memories can do in a person's life. Number one is that, you know, they present you with very, very difficult questions to which you seek to find answers. You know, these are some of the questions that come into a person's mind when they've gone through bad experiences. Number one is, how do I go on after this? There are people battling with this question as we speak. What do I do now? Now that this has happened, now that I've been through that experience, now that I've been affected in that way, now that that has happened, what now? What do I do now? There are people who are confused and don't know what to do. The other question is, can I survive this episode? And if so, how do I survive it? You know, you don't know what to do now going forward after the experience that you have had. Now that you experienced what you experienced, what do you know? How can you survive this episode? And if so, how do you survive? Then the other question is, what do people think of me now? There are people who are so concerned about what people think about them, that it actually cripples them and they are not able to move forward and do the things that they are called to do and do the things that they're purposed to do because of the fact that they view themselves in the light of what people think of them based on past experiences, based on past events, based on past, events that happened in the past. Now, then you begin to prioritize the question of what people think of you now that you've been through that. Now that, like, for instance, a person who's been through a divorce or a person who's been through a very terrible experience, you then ask yourself this question: what do people think of me now? The other question is, can I still make it in life? After a very bad and terrible experience, the question does come in one's mind, can I still make it after this? Now, I want us to look at how do we go on after a bad and pleasant or terrible experience in life. Step number one is leave the past behind. That's the first thing that you need to do, is to leave the past behind. Let it go. Let go of it. Move beyond the past. Move past, your past incidents and past events. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, I'm reading the King James, and it says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is God speaking. Now, based on this verse of scripture, Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, a number of important points emerge. One of them is, don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't live your life on the dictates of past events. Don't let the things that happened in your past shape your life. Don't let the things that happened in your past determine the direction that your life ought to go or that your life is going. That's the first thing. Leave the past behind. In other words, let go of it. Arm yourself with a thinking and an attitude that says, what happened in the past is in the past, and I'm leaving it behind. I'm leaving it in the past. I'm moving on because I know that there are greater things that God has in store for me. So I'm not going to get stuck on the past and dwell on the past to such an extent that I become crippled and not be able to move forward. Number two is make a serious effort to put the past behind you. It's not going to come easy. It's not going to come automatically. It's not going to come naturally. But you have to put forth the effort. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. In other words, there's no one who can do it for you. No one who can do it on your behalf. You have to make the effort to put the past behind you. Number three, don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. Don't let temporary setbacks determine your path of life. When certain bad and unpleasant things and experiences and events occur and unfold in life, they often set us back from our quest to attain to the purpose of God and the calling of God in our life. They often set us back momentarily and temporarily so from pursuing our goals and our objectives in life. So now it becomes very important for us that once we have these kind of experiences, we don't allow these temporary setbacks to determine our path of life. In other words, you don't end up throwing in the towel and giving up simply because you have been set back temporarily because of a bad experience in your life. Don't let that determine your path of life. Choose the path of life that you know God wants you to pursue, and pursue that with all your might and with all determination, not on the basis of what happened to you in the past. Number four that I want us to look at is build your character on the Word of God, not on your past events and experiences. Build your character on the Word of God and not on the past events and experiences. That's very, very important. Or the building of character is one of the most important things that must be prioritized and must be treated with the utmost seriousness if we are going to move past our, you know, beyond our past experiences and move on to glorify God by fulfilling everything that He has told us to do, by being fruitful and multiplying in everything that we do. So I want us to take a moment and look at character because it's very, very important. Build your character on the Word of God. What does that mean? What does character entail? What does the building of character entail? Number one, I'm going to look at a few things here. The first thing that becomes an important building block to character is morality. Don't lose your moral values because of past experiences, because of unpleasant experiences, because of bad experiences, because of being treated badly in the past, because of, you know, negative things that could have occurred and happened in the past as you are moving on in your life. Maintain your morality. Don't lose your moral values. Always seek to hold on to your moral values. Don't let past bad and unpleasant experiences cause you to lose your moral values. There are many people who end up losing their moral values because of events of the past. The second thing that character entails is honesty. Be honest to yourself. Be honest to God. Be honest to everyone in all that you do. Don't now begin to become dishonest simply because you were treated badly in the past, simply because you had bad experiences, simply because of events that were very unpleasant that could have happened in the past. Always be honest in all that you do. Number three is integrity. And by integrity, what I mean is be principled in your behavior. In everything that you do, live according to certain godly, biblical, scriptural principles. Choose your principles carefully. Choose your principles deliberately and decide, make a decision and a commitment to live according to those principles. Be principled. Be a principled person. Don't lose your integrity because of past events. Number four is respectability. Always make sure that you maintain your respectability. Let your behavior force people to respect you. You will remember that Paul said to Timothy, let no one look down on you because you are young. Instead, become in speech and purity, in love and faith and in behavior, an example to all those who believe. So then you must make sure that you do not lose your respectability, either because of past and unpleasant experiences, mistakes that you may have committed in the past and people are aware of them. Don't let that make you lose your respectability. Always let your behavior force people to respect you. Behave in such a way that even if people desire to disrespect you and desire to dishonor you and desire to look down on you and despise you, but your behavior will force them to acknowledge the fact that it is impossible to disrespect someone who behaves in this particular way. The next one is rectitude. And by rectitude, I mean live a decent life. Be decent about everything you do. Be decent in the manner in which you speak. Be decent in your dress code. Be decent in your behavior. Be decent in your interaction with other people. Be decent in everything and about everything that you do in and around your life. And then the next one is honor. That is also one of the most important building blocks of character. Be honorable in all that you do. And the next one is courage. Now, by courage, I mean act in spite of feelings of fear. You see, often when things happen in our lives, they can instill in us a fear to take action, a fear to move forward because of, you know, the little voice of fear would seek somewhere in the back of our mind to say, what if you do this and you fail? What if you don't succeed? What if you get hurt again? What if something bad happens to you? What if you try this and it doesn't work out? What if people don't support what you do? What if people don't agree with what you do? That voice that says, what if can cripple your courage and cause you not to be able to move forward? You know, you need to act. Even though those things do come and you experience those feelings of fear and doubt, but you need to then be determined to take action in spite of those feelings. That is being courageous. And God said that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. He says, only be thou strong and very courageous. In other words, act in spite of feelings of fear. In other words, act in spite of threats around you, threats that stand in your way. Take action, even though, you know, you can see the circumstances, even though you can see the environment that you're in, that it may not necessarily be favorable, but take action. We're going to understand this as we go on. Then the next one that becomes an important building block to character is goodness. You need to understand that bad experiences have a way of twisting and eroding one's character if allowed to do so. Move forward. You need to make an effort to make sure that you put the past behind and that you build your character on the word of God. Question then that comes is, what kind of effort is needed to achieve this? Right. We're going to look at the number of steps that we need to follow and guided by the word of God. Number one, believe what God says, not what people say or what the sect say. In other words, don't focus on what people are saying about you. Don't focus on what people are saying about your situation. Don't focus on what people are saying about your, you know, your course of action. Don't focus on what people are saying as you continue to seek to obey God. Believe what God says. Don't believe what people say. Don't even look at the environment and say, because I see that the environment is not so favorable, it's going to be difficult for me to do this. No, believe what God says. If God said you can do it, then you can do it. If God said you will do it, then you will do it. Believe what God says. Now, it becomes clear from there that in order to believe what God says, you have to know what God says. And in order to know what God says, you have to speak to God. You have to talk to God all the time. Because if you don't talk to him, you're not going to know what he says. You have to read what he has written in his word by inspiration. And that's how you familiarize yourself with what God said. And in other words, you need to stay focused on the word, meditate on the word, read the word day and night, each and every day. Number two is, don't focus on the problem. Don't focus on the problem. If you do, you magnify it in your mind. You make it big in your mind, and then it becomes a mountain that becomes, you know, seems to be impossible for you to climb. So don't focus on the problem. Number three, don't focus on the wrong that was done. This is one of our weaknesses as human beings, is that when, you know, certain people do wrong to us, we then focus on the wrong that was done. And we remain there. We get stuck on the wrong that was done. And it cripples our ability to move forward because we are still stuck on the wrong that was done. We're thinking and meditating and analyzing so much the wrong that was done. So don't focus on the wrong. And the next one is, don't focus on the pain. You know, when you've had a painful experience, it's very tempting to keep focusing on the pain that you have felt, because that pain also cripples you, because it threatens you from moving forward because of the fear that, what if I get hurt again? What if I experience the same pain again? Or what if I experience an even worse pain than before? And so it becomes important that you don't focus on the pain. Focus on the word of God. That's the next step. Focus on the word of God. In other words, meditate on the word of God day and night. God says that to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Meditate on the word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 also teaches us to meditate on the word of God. In verse 1, talks about your behavior. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law does he meditate day and night. And then verse 3 talks about the result. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, whose leaves do not wither, and who brings forth fruit in his season. In other words, you will prosper in everything that he does. So now this is the result of meditating on the word of God. But the result of meditating on the pain, the result of meditating on the wrong done, the result of meditating on the problem, the result of meditating on the bad experiences is always one that will take you away from achieving your goals and your objectives. It's always one that will move you away from prosperity, but it will keep you trapped in a situation where you're not able to move forward. So the next step then is build your faith in God. Build your faith in God. It's very, very important that you learn to build your faith in God. Don't build your faith in people. Don't build your faith in circumstances. Build your faith in God. Don't build your faith even on your experiences, but build your faith in God. Now, what is faith? Faith is a firm persuasion. It's a conviction based upon hearing. That's what faith is. In other words, if you hear what God says, his word convicts you, and you become persuaded about what God says. That's what faith is. And that's according to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things, hope, evidence of things, but it is a firm persuasion. You are firmly persuaded. You are convinced. You become convicted about what God said. In other words, you believe that what God has promised, he is also able to do. What God has promised, he is also able to deliver. Glory be to God forevermore. Now, if you look at faith in how faith is used in the Bible, we'll take two examples. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and verse 5, Paul writes these words. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. But your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So we see now that how faith is used in Scripture is that faith is anchored in God. Faith is built upon God. Faith is built on God. You don't build your faith on the wisdom of men, as Paul says here. That's why he says his word, his teaching, did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, so that the faith of those who were listening to him and following him would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So put your faith in the power of God. Believe in what the power of God can achieve for you. Believe in what the power of God can do for you. The other one is, you know, when you talk about faith, you're always going to find that in the way it is used in the Bible, it is always connected with faithfulness. In Romans chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, for what if some did not believe? What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? You see, you've got to remain faithful to your faith in God. You've got to remain faithful to your conviction and your persuasion to what God says and to his word. That's why he says, if others do not believe, shall that make the faith of God without effect? Not at all. In other words, don't lose your faith simply because other people are losing their faith and they are, you know, letting go of their faith. Remain always in faith. Stay in faith and keep believing what God says. Now, I want us to quickly look at the element of faith. Faith, we build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. We build our faith in the invisible God as distinct from faith in man. Now, let's look at that. What is that? What does that mean? Number one, is a firm conviction producing a full acknowledgement of both revelation or truth. In other words, live your life by revelation knowledge. Live your life according to the truth of the Word of God. Number two, faith in the invisible God is a personal surrender to Him. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to be called His children. In other words, faith is a personal surrender to God. You surrender to Him as His child. You surrender to Him as your father. Number three, faith in the invisible God is a conduct inspired by such surrender. You see it when you look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So now your conduct, you begin to behave in a way that is inspired by your surrender to God as His child and as Him being your father. Number four, it is a faith that does not rest on an opinion held in good faith, but faith that rests on God Himself. An example of that is Abraham. We read his story like in Romans chapter 4, verse 17 and verse 20 and 21. Paul relates the story of how Abraham believed God and had his faith anchored in God. Now, the next point that I want us to look at is, in order to move beyond the past and glorify God, is deal with anxiety from a standpoint of faith. It means, I'm going to bring 2 points here. Number one is continually offer prayer with faith firmly anchored in God. Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, or don't be anxious about anything, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you need to be careful not to tolerate anxiety or worry, because it will ruin your soul. God alone can help you, and He will do so. He will be able to help you if you will pray about everything that happens and give thanks to God for everything. The second point, according to Luke chapter 10, verse 4-24, you will read the story in your time. The Bible, you know, teaches us to align our priorities right. You need to prioritize those things that are important. Now, I want us to move over into the writings of Jeremiah quickly. In chapter 29, we read from verse 8 up to verse 13. He says, for thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners be in the midst of you, that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after these 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you. Listen to that. In causing you to return to this place. For I know the thought I think toward you, says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That phrase, expected end, simply means a future. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Now, that's what it means. It means your future is in God's hands. You need to keep your faith in the fact that your future is in God's hands. Don't worry about your future. It's in the hands of the Lord. God has already taken care of you. He says He knows the thoughts He thinks toward you. Why? Because He performs His good word toward you. Glory be to God. Now, Philippians 1 verse 6, Paul concurs with this, and he says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I just want to give you the full assurance that God will give you your future. He will perform the good work which He has started. He will finish everything that He has started in your life. And in conclusion, I read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 and 34. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, don't worry about your future. Don't be anxious about your future. It's in God's hands. If your faith is entered in God, you know that your future is in God's hands. Because in verse 19 of Isaiah 43, he said, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." If you put your faith in God, he will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way in the wilderness and a way even where there are rivers. May the good Lord continue to bless you as you continue to deal effectively with your past events. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, 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 greetings, greetings to everyone listening to Finding My Way Radio World from the USA. And we thank God that we are greeting you from the Republic of South Africa. My name is Benjamin Kuswani, and yes, this is your Destined for Glory program. And we thank God that this is the moment again we celebrate to be alive in Christ Jesus. And we can declare, lift up our voices and declare, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank God for yet another day that he has granted for us to rejoice in his presence, and most of all, to open up to the unadulterated, inerrant, undeniable, unchangeable word of the living God. This is the word that he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall abide forever." So we greet you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that God has exalted, that it be the name that is above every other name, and that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue confess that he, Jesus Christ, is Lord, even unto the glory of God our Father. So let's pray together right now as we prepare ourselves for the word of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And Father, we thank you that even as we separate ourselves unto your word, unto you, we are receiving life from your word. And I pray for every listener right now, I speak the release of your word, the creative power of your word, the interceptive power of your word, the governmental authority of your word into every situation and every circumstance that every listener might be going through right now. And we declare in the name of Jesus that the power of your word is able to bring forth the desire of your heart, Father, in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, and in the material, in the relationship. We receive, therefore, your word as the word that is able to pierce through to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and searching the intents of our heart, and most of all, transforming us and giving us the desires that are of your heart. Father, I pray, let your word bring hope, let your word bring healing right now, let your word bring restoration unto somebody's life, in the name of Jesus. And by faith, we receive the power of your word manifesting your supernatural intents in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, as we have been going through, we are consumed, even as you know that the title of our program is Destined for Glory. We are consumed by this, that heaven has prepared to gather us unto the weight of the glory that God has preserved us for, and God has preserved that glory for in our life. He's gathering us to the weight of that glory. Maybe if you want to understand it in a better way, in a way that will make it clear for you, there is nothing clearer than the word of God. And we thank God that God has created all things
by his word. And when you remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, it says to us here, for our light affliction, know that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal, and then it says, weight of glory. So God is gathering us to that weight of glory. I do believe the principle of the weight of glory, it says to us, so that we will not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrine. Even as he says in Ephesians chapter 4, he says we have received the gift of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, to the intent that we may be brought to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ, so that having received this weight, we may not be tossed to and fro by diverse winds of doctrines. You see, my friend, the Spirit of God knew that we will be living in such a time as this, in a time where information is full all over the world. Remember that in the book of Daniel chapter 4, when Daniel had seen and received the interpretations from God of the times that were coming, God said to Daniel, now Daniel, close the book. In the vision, he says, close the book, for these things are for a time that is appointed, a time that is still coming. And then he closed by saying, for knowledge shall increase. Yes. This is the season that I believe the Spirit of God in the book of Daniel was seeing about us, that knowledge will increase. So it's in the midst of this knowledge that is increasing that we need to be gathered to the weight of the glory of God as he manifests himself in Christ Jesus, who is the very glory of God, in Christ Jesus, who is the Word himself, as the Word says in John chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So my friend, this is the weight. This is the weight of the Word we are preaching right now, for we are not speaking the words of this world. We are not speaking the words of the pride of the world. No, we are speaking the words that are power. For when we read the Word again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 20, the Word of God says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but it is the matter of power. Yes. The kingdom of God is not a matter of words, but a matter of power. You see, a lot of words, my friend, can be just like the idling of a car. When a car, a vehicle, is just idling and it is not moving, you cannot gauge the power of that engine or of that car. But the minute you want to know the power of this car, you need to engage the gears of that car and begin to know the power from the first gear to the last gear. As you engage them, you need to know, you connect the power of that engine. In the same way, my brethren, we are at this place when our God is gathering us to the weight of his glory. So the question is, how do we navigate our position? How do we position ourselves? How do we stand in a way that can stay connected to the frequency of heaven so that we will be gathered to the weight of the glory of God? I believe the greatest challenge that we will focus on today is the challenge of our faith. I believe God is calling us to the place of faith again. Yes, faith again. And we are going to embrace this confirmation of the call of God for this season as faith again, as we read in the Word from the book of St. Luke. We're going to read from the book of St. Luke together, St. Luke chapter 18. As we read St. Luke chapter 18, where Jesus is giving the parable of a widow woman who troubled the judge for the judge to fight for her cause or for her case. But now at the end of this parable, Jesus gives the lesson out of it. He gives the lesson out of it. how this woman troubled the judge. And Jesus said in St. Luke chapter 18 and verse 6, the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did the unjust judge say? The unjust judge had just responded and said, even though I'm a hard man, even though I have no regard for God or for man, but the way this woman is continually troubling me to fight for her case, I have no alternative, but I will have to help her, lest she weary me. Now Jesus is picking it up from there, where we are reading in verse 6. He says, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God therefore avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Jesus is asking, if this judge who's hard of heart, if this judge who has no compassion naturally, has been impacted by the continual pestering of this woman, widow woman, if this judge could turn around and show mercy on the widow woman, shall not God, Jesus is asking, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Now note that Jesus is using the word elect, the elect of God. Why? Because he has already come as the Messiah. He was connecting that I have come for the election, for those that were connected, God's election, by receiving salvation even through faith. And that's why he says, will God not avenge his elect who cry unto him day and night, though he bears long with them? Note that. He says, God will avenge. But here is the challenge. He says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. But nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Jesus is asking the question, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns or when he comes on the earth? This is a question, my brother and my sister, that I believe is facing us in this hour, in the midst of all the noises of the world. From the four corners of the world, we even see the fulfillment of the prophecies of Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus warned us about the times of the end, where he said, in the end time, we shall see and hear of the rumors of the wars. We shall hear of earthquakes. Today, we are not only hearing of them, we see the earthquakes in Mexico. We see the hurricanes out in the United States of America. We see storms throughout all the world, all the things that Jesus spoke about. He said, these things shall come before the end comes. These things now are here. The question is, how will we stand? Number one, in the very Matthew 24, Jesus said in verse 8, when you see of these things, he said, do not marvel at them, for they are but just the beginning of the birth pains. They are the beginning of sorrows. It's like creation is travailing in the midst of this, and creation is travailing to see the elect of God, the sons of God. And the question is, how will the sons of God stand in the midst of all that's going on right now? As we read that Luke 18, it says to us, the sons of God, the elect of God, will connect for the manifestation of the glory of God in the earth by standing in faith. Yes, by connecting the faith that Jesus wondered about, that will the Son of God find faith when he comes? Will he find faith in the earth? And I do believe that you and I are still right here in the earth to connect the elect call of faith. And how will we then connect this call of faith? This is how it will happen. The mandate and the challenge for us about faith is no longer just to talk faith. to clean up the channel of faith. I believe the Spirit of God is working at the cleansing of the channel of faith, so that our faith will be purified. The channel of our faith will be purified so that we can intently hear what heaven is saying in the midst of all that's going on in the world. Because I know and I believe, my friend, that you and I bear witness that this Satan that is taking place throughout the world, it's summoning us to a place of going beyond what we see with our eyes. Why? Because the clean channel of faith teaches us that we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So back to the question that Jesus is asking. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Listen to the question. Will he? He could have just said, will he find faith? But he uses that word. Will he really find faith? Which means, will he find truthful faith? Will he find purified faith? Will he find focused faith, faith without destruction? And will he find quality faith? That's the question. Will it be truthful? Will it be focused? Will it be quality faith that he will find in the earth? I believe Jesus asked this question knowing that there will be some kinds of believing or beliefs that are so unreal, yet they can somehow sway even the minds of the elect. And the challenge is, will he find faith? Let's find out what kind of faith is Jesus expecting to find when he comes. This is the faith like of a woman who is robbed of justice, who is robbed of that which is rightfully hers, or of that which the enemy has tried to rob her of. The kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to find in the earth, my friend, is faith where you and I are ready to press through. You and I are ready to connect that, yes, we are the elect of God. We are standing in Christ Jesus, who declared that upon the rock of my revelation, I build my church, and the gates of hell, which is the expressions of evil, which is the injustices that I believe this woman was facing. And Jesus is saying, when I come, will I find the faith that is able to stand upon the rock of my foundation and square up with the manifestations of evil, square up with the gaze of hell, the expressions of evil of the day, and be able to break through and say, we break through the judgment standard of the day. What is this? When Jesus used the parable of the judge, you must understand with me that the judge speaks about the ultimate standard of judgment in a territory. The ultimate judgment standard in a territory. But right now, even as we broadcast worldwide, we are no longer just talking about the standard of judgment in a territory. We're talking about the standard of judgment throughout the whole world, where every creation is affected equally right now. And God knew about this situation, and that's why in the book of Romans again, verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 19, he says, creation means all over the world, there is a travail, there is a groaning, there is a yearning for the manifestation of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? According to the scripture that we have read today, Luke 18, it means the elect of God. So Jesus is saying, will he, the Son of Man, when he comes, will he really find faith. It is time to check your faith and my faith. Even as the Apostle Paul warned in some place in Corinthians, and he says to them, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. It is the same weight with which Jesus is expressing concern to say, will the Son of Man find faith? Which means, what kind of faith are you standing on? Is it a feeble faith that doubts? Is it a feeble faith that depends on what you see, what you hear, and what you're feeling? Or will it be the quality faith that is focused and that is truthful, that will be able to withstand the judgment standard of the day and say, even if the world is going this way, I am ready, for I have waited upon God. You see, this kind of faith, my brother, when it speaks about focused, it is the faith that speaks about being intently waiting on God. Yes, just like he says in Isaiah chapter 40, and he says in verse 30, he says, though the young men stumble and fall, and though the young ones may fall down, he says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What does this mean? They that wait upon the Lord. They that wait. That word wait is the word in the Hebrew, Kabbah, this word that speaks about intently focused, intently focused. The word wait there is from where we get the word of a waiter, as in a restaurant, as in an eating place. You find a waiter standing by to serve you. Now, when a waiter stands by to serve you, even after putting things on the table, the waiter does not go away forever. The true waiter, the trained waiter, will keep on coming onto you to wait on you. He'll keep on disturbing you. She'll keep on disturbing you and saying to you, is everything okay? Is everything going on? That's the principle of the waiter that Jesus, or rather that the Word of God, is using right here. So this is the kind of faith that Jesus is looking forward to meet when he returns. The faith of those that wait, that intently engages with God, just like the waiter engages with the people he's serving. God is saying, they that wait on the Lord, which means they that trouble the Lord, they that press in unto the Lord, they that keep on asking God. Can you imagine this? Saying to God, Daddy, are you okay? Father, are you all right? Is it okay? And then he says, no, my son, I want you to walk this way. And said, Daddy, are you okay? Is it okay? He says, no, my daughter, just hold it a little bit. Go this way. Go that way. This is the kind of waiting faith. The faith of waiting is the faith of intently focusing on him, intently engaging with him. Because if you don't engage with him, your strength cannot be renewed. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Which means you wait on God, you are like eating on him. You are like provoking him. Do you know that many waiters that do it so well, that are so careful to engage with the people that they are serving, they are the ones that get the best tip at the end. They are the ones who receive the best tip when the payments take place. And I do believe the best tip for you and I, if we hold on with the faith that is truthful, that is focused, and that is of quality, when we wait with that kind of wait, here is our tip. It's more than a tip. He says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, which means they will not be like the generation that is feeding from the man-made things. No, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will never be like a generation waiting to be parachuted onto the mountain. No, they've got strength from God. They have waited on him, and they can go up the mountain, mount up with wings like eagles. And he says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the same way information print that as he returns, he will find in the earth. So my friend, this is not time for you and I to give up in any way. This is not the time for you and I to be discouraged. In the midst of all that are happening, I hear the sound of the Spirit declaring that the storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. Yes, storms are raging, but the eagles are rising on the wings of the storm. So this is the time to clean up the channel of our faith. What is this about the channel of faith? It is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. As we draw to the close of our program today, let's look at it together. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says here to us, "For you were saved by grace through faith." You were saved by grace through faith. Now, I want you to know that. Saved by grace through faith. And he says, "And that not of yourself." Yes, which means this is the time now for the faith that is a purified channel. Why channel? Because we are saved by grace. What grace? The grace that is revealed unto all men in Titus 2:11. The grace that brings salvation. That is revealed unto all men. Unveiled unto all men. But he says, you are saved by that grace, but through faith. Which means faith is the channel whereby the grace of God is channeled into individual life. You might be listening and say, "I have not yet given my life to Jesus," but I want you to know this. The grace of God is available for you. The grace of God is available for you and I, that by faith, which is the channel that God is giving us as the way of channeling the grace of God in our lives, that by faith, through faith, we can see the grace of God channeled in our lives, so that the grace of God will begin to manifest the righteousness of God in our lives. How so? Because in Titus chapter 2:11 that we refer to, he says, the grace of God that brings salvation is availed unto all men. And then he says, the same grace teaches us to live godly lives away from the lusts of the world in this present time, in this present age, in this present world, which means it is not by your might and my power or the might and power, but it is by the Spirit of God working through the channel of faith, working to manifest the righteousness that is of the grace of God. He says, it is not of your works that any man should boast. It is not of our work, lest any man should boast. So in this season of all boastfulness and pride, God is saying the grace of God that brings salvation is available to you, my friend. So what time is this for us in the world as the church and as the people who hear the word such as this? This is the time to clean up the channel of your faith from every contamination. And as we clean up our channels, we receive the saving grace of God through Jesus Christ that manifests the righteousness of God in our life and through our life. So receive your portion today, my friend. Receive your portion and keep waiting. We will go on with the cleansing of the channel of faith for the manifestation of the glory of God to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea, all to the glory of Jesus Christ, upon whose revelation we tend to declare victory over every gate of hell, over every manifestation of evil, even in your life. You can silence everything that is not of God by receiving Jesus Christ and by declaring him Lord of all in your life. So be blessed, my friend. As we part again, we shall meet in this, our program, Destined for Glory. God richly bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.